to be a living sanctuary for the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Tonight on this is just we're going to be looking at the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Amen.
But I want to quote a scripture before we get into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's Luke 20:10-27. And Jesus was answered. This was an answer that he gave to those that were questioning him about the greatest commandment concerning the law. And his answer was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,"
that's right,
"and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." My question is, are you there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there yet? Brother David always makes this statement. I've heard him make it many times before, and it was a quote that from one of his teachers or one of his comrades told him, "Nobody wants to know how much you know. They want to know how much you love."
That's right.
You know, if you look at the church world today, I'm not basically the kingdom of God, but just the religious church world. You have all these teachings and all these ways to get rich, and all these ways to get healed, and all these ways to be elevated in ministry, and all this stuff. But do they truly teach?
Yes.
To love the Lord your God.
Amen.
And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and this issue of love, or the way of love, comes up. And you notice how it first starts out. "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal."
Yes.
If you notice, how many people today that you'll see them, oh man, they just all these tongues and everything, but the bottom line, their life is jacked up, messed up from the floor. I've seen too many times with what they call these super saints, where, oh man, they just lay hands and people falling out, but in the bottom line, they got up the same way they went down, because truth was nothing behind it.
Yes.
It's nothing but a charade.
That's right.
It's nothing but a show.
Amen.
Because the bottom line is, if they had truly had love for you, they would give you the truth.
Yes.
Right. You can always measure how much somebody truly loves you or truly care for you. Because they'll give you the truth.
That's good.
Amen. Even if you might think it's ripping you to the core, but they would give you the truth. Mm-hmm. One of the first examples that truth captured me was, I was about 14 or 15, and an old lady, her name was Jesse Parker, and I was working at the seafood company, and man, I got mad with somebody and used a four-letter word. And she heard me. She said, "After a while, when you get a break, I want you to come over to the Marine Supply Store. I need you to do some things for me and Harry." I said, "Okay." Because I called Grandma Paul, which she wasn't my grandmother, but that was my mistake for her. And she put me in touch with the truth.
Amen.
And where she put me in touch with the truth at, she said that, she told her husband, said, "Harry, Freddie got something he wants to tell you." "Well, let me tell you something." "I'll go ahead and tell Harry what I heard you say a while ago. I ain't had a harsh tell with the bar, that I had used a four-letter word." And she said to me, you know what? Me and Harry think so much of you. But I thought that your vocabulary went higher than that.
Yes.
It taught me a great lesson. That truth, to not to always speak out of my mouth what I think, especially around people that I respected as family. Not only that, people that I respected as being famous in the community. You know, and there I was, I thought I was a tough guy, but in reality, it brought me to tears.
Wow.
It brought me to tears. Because it just hurt me so bad that I couldn't find nothing else to say. Have you really, at times, in your Christian walk and in your Christian relationship, have said things to somebody or made statements that later brought you to tears? If we all be honest when we say yes.
Yes.
And the thing is, did you learn the lesson? You know, for it was many years before I ever even attempted to use profanity again. Because every time I did, I could hear this part of the voice in my ear.
Wow.
And the thing is, she asked me, she said, I thought you loved people. I said, I do. She said, I don't believe it. She said, somebody that you love, why would you say what you said to them? It was a sobering experience.
Amen.
And the thing is, you know, you have people that speak in tongues and they just go on and on and on and on. And even if they speak in, Paul says here, with the tongues of an angel, but have not love, you're noisy. Are you going to make a noise?
Yeah.
Making noise to try to trick somebody to think that you're really more than you are. Verse 2 says, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. It's really something to think about it.
Amen.
If you had prophetic powers, if you understood every mystery in the Bible, but didn't have love.
Yes.
If you could speak to a mountain and it would move, but didn't have love. Mm-hmm. What are you? He says you're nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up myself to be burned, but have not love, I'm nothing.
Yes.
Right.
You know, it carries me back to the three young Hebrew men that wouldn't bow down to the king.
Right.
Because their love for God was so much more. They said, I'd rather burn than deny my love for God.
Mm-hmm.
How many times as Christians are we faced with declaring our love for God for our fellow man and we wind up backing up? Really don't declare, but back up to, well, you know. In every situation that you're caught up in, do you declare your love to God and your love for your fellow man?
Amen.
And the one thing that I want to ask you here, what are your true motives for what you do?
Yes. Amen.
What truly drives you? Is it love for the body of Christ? Or something else? What truly drives you as a Christian?
It's good.
It's Is it for love for the body of Christ? Or is it for popularity? Is it for fame? Is it to be known? What truly drives you? Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant. Verse 5 says, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. You know what? How many times have we been honest with a person come sit down beside you and they were just as dirty and filthy and nasty and stinking? But your love for your fellow man not cause, make that person irritate you or you be resentful of it. Or as you lean over there and hug you and say, brother, I love you. Well, sister, I love you.
Amen.
And I want to help you out of that situation. That we all will be honest. And I can just talk about my own self. I remember one Sunday, the Sunday they had picked out for National AIDS Awareness Sunday. And the air conditioning church wasn't working that good that Sunday. And I had on this black suit and black shirt and black robe and everything. And when it came to meet and greet time, this self-sized woman, she reached out and she grabbed me and hugged me, and her face touched mine, and she was just sweating, soaking wet. But then when it comes to speaker time for National AIDS Awareness Sunday, she was the speaker. And she said, I've had full grown legs, I like a thought.
Wow. Amen.
Because immediately I hugged and told I love you, so I backed right up on it. This woman gave me something by her sweat touching my face. But you know what the sad thing was? When she began to speak, and she said that night she had been AIDS-free for 19 years.
Wow.
She was a college professor at Duke University. And I remember what she said when she first got sick. And she was in the hospital for about 2.5 months, so she didn't know what was wrong with her. But when she came home and went to her church and sat down, everybody on the seat would have got up and moved.
Yes, that's right.
And within 2 seats in front of her and 2 seats behind her, nobody was sick.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know what? Here, I'm a preacher, and I'm that same person. No different. And it really, really done something on the inside. You know what? Your heart's really not where you think it is.
That's good.
You know, you told that lady you love her. Well, then, why don't you go out there and hug her now? I couldn't even move out of the seat. I was scared to death. I'm not being honest. I was terrified for weeks. I'm serious. That's what kind of fear I had about AIDS.
Amen.
I was terrified.
Yes.
Showed no love towards her. After church was over, I made sure I went wrong out the door because I didn't want to get near her again, touch her again, or nothing. But then, I told her earlier that I love you, sister. But the truth is the only thing that counts.
Yes.
So many times we tell our brother and sister that we love them, but what is our true motive?
Yes.
What is truly driving that statement?
Yeah. It's good.
The next thing about love, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth.
Yes.
It reminds me, and you know, this really hit home with me, and I'm going to read this other verse, and then we'll have a time of elaboration. Verse 7 said, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do we believe all good things about people when we even see them missing up? Do we believe there's some good in them? Do we hope they did some good in them? Or do we believe or hope that they will change?
Yeah.
When last time you seen a drug user and believed in your heart that God would save them?
Yes.
Or believed in your heart that God would deliver them out of the situation you're in? Or do we just cast them down? You know, I've had one of the greatest sobering experiences working with Larry. Because Larry said something to me. He said, "Nobody would give me a chance at work." And you know exactly what I did. But she gave me a chance.
Thank
the Lord. I had to go get Larry outside the bed in the morning because he would oversleep. Knowing what he had done the night before. And he got in the truck one day and he would just beat himself up. I said, "Larry, we've all come short."
Yes.
Don't beat yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm in just about the predicament you are. Because I need some help and can't find them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a whole entire different persona of Larry. From our working together every day. I mean, all the bad stuff that people had said about him when the one-on-one relationship started.
Amen. That's right. That's
totally
right.
Different.
Yeah.
Totally different. And see, that's the thing we must do as the body of Christ is form one-on-one relationships.
That's good. That's gospel. Amen.
Form one-on-one relationships. Form relationships with brothers and sisters. And you know what? So what? I don't care what nobody got to say. Because somebody said to me, "Man, you got married working with you." "Yeah, I got married working with you." "You want a job?"
Mm-hmm.
"Man, I ain't want to touch no weed either." Okay. But the thing is, do we hope all things for all people? I asked Larry last week, I said, "Larry, you want to go to church soon?" "Man, you know, I don't go to church." But then he called me Sunday morning.
Yes.
He said, "Pick me up to church."
Amen.
I'm going to come.
Amen.
And you know what he said to me? It was a great experience.
Amen.
Great experience. When he's saying how people that really he didn't know, but they showed his love.
Yeah.
He said, "Man, y'all really care about each other. Y'all really care about people."
Yes.
That says something.
Amen.
Do you hope all things for all people? Do we believe good things about all people?
Amen.
I remember a lady said to me that she knew that God was going to get even with somebody for the way they had treated her when her mother passed. And then this man got into a wreck and he spent months in the hospital and he's been confined to a nursing home ever since. And she made the statement, "Yes, see, I told you that God was going to get even with him for the way he treated me."
Amen.
I asked the question, "Who's God made you that?" Did you prepare sentence to judge on somebody else? Did she really love the man that had raised her from a little child to an adult woman who still took care of her, helped her, went on the limb for her, but all of a sudden, what was her true intentions or what was truly driving her? Was it love? No, it was not.
Yes. Amen.
It wasn't the bill of love. And the thing is, what drives us? What drives you? What drives you?
Good.
the love your neighbor as yourself. True love God. No, what we say, oh man, I love God.
Yeah.
With all my heart, soul, mind, and spirit. But then, when it comes to that last part of that verse, now hold on. See, he treated me, or they treated me, or they treated my grandmama or my great grandma.
Yeah.
If you notice what Jesus done, he done away with all that. And he said, love God.
Yeah.
And love your neighbor. And we love our neighbor.
Yeah.
How about, would you love your neighbor if his dog was coming over and pooping every morning on your manicure grass? Mm. Would you love your neighbor if you have a Maserati sitting out there in your yard and you look and his cat was walking up and down your Maserati, scratching up your $5 pizza shop?
Oh, I saw it. Got to get a
vehicle. Did I remember myself? I have a neighbor that has some dogs that come pooping in my yard every day. Big dog and little dog.
Yeah.
I talked with him, asked him, threatened to kill the dogs and everything else. Still didn't change. Because it's the nature of a dog, he's not going to do his business where he lives.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you confine him where he can't do it.
That's right.
But that's his nature.
Yeah.
So I had just dug a grave one night and had come home. And there his dog was in the wintertime squatting. And I took that very shovel that I had just dug that grave with, scooped it up, run over his driveway and throwed it up his driveway. And he happened to be getting in his car and it hit him and went all over his pants. I said, what's that dog left in my yard? I returned it back where it belonged.
Yes.
But what kind of person was I? See, I was arrogant. The word says love is not arrogant.
Yes.
It's not rude.
Yeah.
And the language I used on that fellow that night, because I wasn't claiming nothing but the DFL. And it was just so bad that it was like we became arch enemies for the rest of the time that I lived there. When all of them other times, if I had done what I had done before, just scooped it up and carried it home and disposed of it. That time, my arrogance, my rudeness. How many times are we arrogant and rude with our fellow men, with our brothers and sisters? We have to be honest.
Amen.
Christians can be some rude people.
Yes.
Christians can be some arrogant people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
If we be honest. And I know, preacher, you picking on me again, you done beat me up Sunday night, you coming right back, milling with me again at the home group meeting.
Okay.
Verse 8 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away.
Yes.
As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 9 says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Notice something here. Why do you think you're such a genius? Well, why do you think that's about you? If God didn't give you a prophetic word. Well, you only need a part of it. He's never give you all of it.
Yeah.
The same thing. The tongues. Eventually they're going to cease. Prophecy will cease. If you notice, it said, for we know in part. So you're not going to never really get the full revelation. The full revelation is when Jesus comes back. And it said, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When Jesus comes back, all the impartial stuff will cease. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, this can be translated man or woman, so I won't offend nobody.
Yeah.
I give up childish ways. How long have you been a Christian?
Amen.
Have you grown? Have you given up your childish ways? Or we get insulted and mad because somebody says one word,
amen,
that might not strike offense. But I've been walking with the Lord,
yeah,
for 30 or 40 years.
Yep.
But let me say one word that don't get you offense. Have you grown up? Are we still drinking milk? Yep. Have we grown up? Have we grown to the point that we can love each and every one unconditionally?
Mm-hmm.
God loves us unconditionally.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus loved us unconditionally. He come down here and died for us. Then, and we ain't never seen him, but we say we love him. But then I speak brother sometimes 4 or 5 times a week. And how could I not love her?
Amen.
How could I not love Sister Carol? How could I not love Sister John? Brother Dave, my wife.
Hmm.
We say we love Jesus who we've never seen. But do we have unconditional love for our brothers and our sisters? It'll make you see a true heart.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
God really done these things. So it's prophecies and tongues and the healings and stuff in the early church that the gospel would be authenticated.
Yes. That's right.
That's why they was originally done, so that the gospel could be authenticated. So as you look, the bottom line, let's face reality. All these preachers that say, oh, I'm sick, getting healed, and all that, about 90% at stage, or 95% at stage.
Yes.
No truth behind it.
That's right.
Because if it was truth behind it, I've heard them in the past prophesy, tell this brother, God had healed him of cancer. And the brother died from cancer.
Hmm.
You know, his daughter done it, her dad's funeral. Said, every one of you preachers are lying prophets.
Oh.
And she got up to say words of her dad's funeral.
Yeah.
Said, because every one of y'all have prophesied to him and said that God was going to heal him.
Yes.
He never got no better.
Mm-hmm.
And you see where he's laying. Did they truly love that man?
No.
Did they truly love his family? Did they truly love the people that they believed? Because if they had, they'd give them the truth.
Right.
If you truly love somebody, you'll give them the truth. You notice verse 12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as it has been fully known. You know, the amazing thing about in ancient days, mirrors were dim.
Yeah.
Because they was made out of bronze or other metals that we polished. So the reflection was dim. The whole thing was, what is your reflection for mankind? Is it dim or is it fully bright? Can you truly see or are you still in darkness? Some of us are still in darkness when it comes to our fellow man. Because we won't tell them the truth. And it ends up, it says in verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abides, these three. But the greatest,
yes,
of these is love. Mm. You notice something. Faith, hope, love. The relationship of these three Christian qualities. These are three Christian qualities. And so many times Paul spoke about it in his letters. Do you have those three Christian qualities full blossom in your life? Mm-hmm. Faith, hope, and love. Always I got faith that this person's going to change. I hope. I'm always giving hope every time I talk to them. Even when they talk in something totally crazy, I'm going to give them hope. Are you going to give them hope?
Yeah.
Are you going to have faith then that they'll change?
Yeah.
And then will you love them to the point that they'll change? You take an old, mangy, dirty dog that might bite you every time you get close to it. But if you start feeding and watering that dog, what'll happen? He'll walk right up to you and let you pet him.
Amen. That's right.
Do we love society enough? Our brothers and sisters, everywhere, no matter if they are part of this Rock Fellowship, no matter if they're a part of this home group meeting, when we leave out of here, do we go show the love of the Lord? The hope for all mankind. Can I remember this song? I love you with the love of the Lord. I see in you the glory of the King.
Yes.
Do we see the glory of the King? Even in that brother's or sister that might use bad language. Even in that one. That's using words. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love.
Amen.
Do you love it? God bless you. I'm done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.